praying for revival is something that ought to be in our hearts constantly, and it should be our prayer to God constantly. Preparing for revival should be something that we pray to God, whether we have a series of services upcoming or not. And the state of our hearts as individuals will determine whether or not this week is a series of services or whether or not this week is a revival. How willing you are to allow the Spirit to work in your heart, in your life. How willing you are to allow an uncomfortable situation to become a blessing. How willing you are to allow conviction to become life-changing. Because that's what revival is. It's conviction that becomes life-changing. It's stepping out of your comfort zone that becomes a blessing. That's revival. How many of you is ready for it? Ain't many people ready for revival because we don't want to do what it takes to prepare for it. You know the reason dirt cake is one of my favorite desserts. You know the reason I don't make dirt cake very often? By the time you go buy Cool Whip and vanilla pudding and two packs of Oreos, all the ingredients to make dirt cake, you know you end up making a bowl about yay big around that costs you like $28. That's the reason that I don't make dirt cake very often, because I'm not prepared to pay the price. That's what it boils down to. I love it, and it's great, and it's awesome, and it's good to talk about, and it's good to eat, and it's good to share with others, but I don't want to pay the price. Because it cost me a lot. This morning, if you want a revival in this church, which we desperately need, if you want a revival in this country, which we desperately need, and in this community, which we desperately need, then there has to be someone willing to pay that price. Someone willing to be uncomfortable. Someone willing to step out of their comfort zone. Someone willing to say, I am convicted and I want it to change my life. Someone willing to repent. Someone willing to forgive. You know, God's blessings are a package deal, right? You don't get His love without His judgment. You don't get His grace without His demand for forgiveness. You don't get His promises without your obedience. It's a package deal. So if you want revival this morning, then it should have started a long time ago. And whenever service time was supposed to start this morning, if you were desperate in need of revival, if you were ready for revival, you should have been here earlier. If you were in need for revival, then you should have had your Bibles open. If you were in need for revival, then the choir should have heard you singing louder than them. If you wanted revival, it should have already started. So many times we are unwilling to pay the price. We are unwilling. Bailey come flying in the bedroom this morning. She said, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's not dark outside anymore. It's time to get up. Apparently, that's what constitutes wake up time, is sunshine. Had we been ready for the day, we'd have got up before her. Had we been excited for the day, we'd have got up before her. Brother Roy beat me to church this morning. Not for lack of trying. I was excited to get here. And I tried to beat him. I didn't. How excited are we for revival? Because it's not just emotional. So many people call revival an emotional thing, and it can be. That's not where it begins. It begins with commitment, and we have very, very little. Very little commitment to God in our lives as individuals. That bleeds over, and we have very little commitment to God as a church. That bleeds over, our community has little commitment to God. That bleeds over, our state, our country, our world has little commitment to God because we are not yet ready for revival. And I prayed it this morning that we can get to that point. The song Revive Us Again, and I'm glad Brother Steve requested this song. The last verse says, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. You know what that means? If you're here and you're saved this morning, then God has already filled you with His love. It's already been done. If you're here saved this morning, then your heart has been filled with God's love. That part is done. That part is finished. But the part that revival really, really catches a hold of is that rekindled part. Because very little in our life do we fan the fire, which is God's love.
You know why? Because we're always distracted. We try to get to that fire, to fan that fire. We try to become more spiritual. And we try to become more committed. And we try to do more for God. And we want to do more for God. At the end of the day, we just don't do more for God. That's what it boils down to. We want to be in time for church, but we want to do this instead. We want to read our Bible, but we'd rather do this instead. We want to witness to others, but it's just too uncomfortable. We want to share our testimony, but I just don't have time. I want to pray to God. I just don't know how because I never do it. Want should lead to action. And if we want a revival, it should lead to action. It should. This past Wednesday night, we had the Lord's Supper and communion service. It's a very sacred, very solemn service instituted by Jesus Christ Himself. A lot of you that are here participated in it. That is a step in preparing for revival. Humbling yourselves. The thing about it is how much does that carry over? Did that carry over into our day on Thursday in that we worshiped God greater? Did that carry over into our day on Friday in that we sought after God greater? Do you look for God or do you seek for God? At the end of the day, it's hard. It's difficult. It's tough. But I want you to know it's worth it every single time. Every single time, it's worth it. Every single time, it's worth it. I was listening to a preacher preach not long ago online. And during the service, he would call people's names. Randomly. And in the interview following that service, the man asked him why you did that. Because he would call the names of kids. Men, women, all the above. He said because every now and then they wouldn't be paying attention. And he said, if it embarrasses them a little bit, but it allows them to see the love of God that I'm trying to preach, he said, then it's worth it. At the end of the day, if it makes us uncomfortable, but it's for God, it's worth it. If it makes us a little bit outside of our comfort zone, it's worth it. If it's hard, if it's tough, if it's difficult, it is worth it every time. This morning, I hope that by the end of this service that we can be more prepared for revival. If you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 1, and we're going to do a pretty good bit of reading this morning. In Philippians chapter number 1, in the majority of this letter, Paul is writing about the love that God has for the church, that God has for His people. About the love that the church should have for one another. Trying to encourage them in spiritual joy and in love for one another. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That you may approve all things that are excellent, that may be sincere and without offense. Till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. You want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? We have a hard time getting Bailey to eat sometimes. You know what we do? We sit down beside her and we make her eat. Hey, you're not getting down till you eat one more bite of spaghetti. And then after that, it's one more and one more and one more and one more until there's nothing left in the plate. As a kid, we can near about make her eat whenever she don't want to. But as an adult, but a DV, I can't make you eat. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try. As an adult, we can't really force things on each other. We can encourage. We can pray for. We can beg. I need you to eat. I need you to love. I need you to pray. I need you to read your Bible. But at the end of the day, if you're a saved, born-again believer, that is your decision. If you want the fruits of the Spirit, you got to belly up to the table. If you want a revival, and you got to belly up to the table. If you want God to work in your life, then you have to let Him. And that means you show up.
fork in one hand, a spoon in the other, ready to get after it. Too many times in our life we don't, because there are so many other things going on. So many other things. As a kid in church, I say a kid, I was a teenager. As a teenager in church, being convicted about the things in my life that were lacking, being convicted about the fact that I was not spiritual at all. I led songs in church, but that's not spirituality. I led in prayer in church, but that's not being spiritual. That's not closeness to God. That's not bearing fruit. That's not partaking of the fruit. That's not reading and studying when nobody's looking. And in being convicted, sitting in church, the same man that's coming to preach for us tomorrow, the same man standing up at the pulpit preaching, and he was preaching a sermon. I wrote it down in the back of my Bible. It said, "Do not think, no." And whenever we think that we are spiritual, we are in trouble. Whenever we know that we are spiritual, we're in the right place. And sitting there during that sermon, I was looking for things to distract me. And it's easy to find in church. Look around. I thank God for kids. I sought them out when I was a teenager sitting in church, not wanting to hear what the preacher was having to say. I was looking at what they were doing. I was looking at what adults were doing. There'd be a man sitting up there tapping his finger on the bench, and I'd try to figure out what he was tapping his finger to. There'd be a little something on the preacher's tie, or his tie be a little bit crooked, and I was trying to figure out what the deal was. I was trying to focus in on that. A few years later, we repainted the inside of the church pink. You think I'm joking? It was pink. But the white walls right behind the pulpit, they stayed white. And so I'd focus in on that. And then we had a rat problem in the church, and there was yellow stains coming down the wall right in front of where I sat. So I would look at them. And then after a little while, that little button in the back of the pew, it had worked out of the bench right in front of me. And so I would stick that button back in there, and I'd pull that button out, and I'd sit there and I'd fiddle with that button. And I would find something to distract me from what God was trying to say, from what God was trying to do in my life. And if you're looking for a distraction this morning, you're going to find one. 100% of the time. What I encourage you to do is not look for a distraction. It's worth it to pay attention to God. It's worth it to read His Word. It is worth it to allow His conviction to change your life. It's worth it every single time. And no one whose God has ever changed his life, no one will tell you that it's not worth it. No one. Paul went through more than most men will ever go through on this earth. And he said at the end of the day, it is worth it. Peter went through more than most men will ever go through on this earth. And he said at the end of the day, it is worth it. Jesus hung up on that cross, blood pouring from him. And he said, "Father, forgive them. This is worth it." And we can't sit through 30 minutes of preaching. And we can't bear to sing for 15 minutes. And we definitely can't show up for 11 o'clock Sunday morning service whenever we can get to work at 6 a.m. It's because we see work is worth it. And we see God is not. That's what it boils down to. Paul said, if we are going to approve those things which are excellent, that if we are going to be sincere and without offense, if we are going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness, then we have to do so through Jesus Christ, because nothing that we have is righteous. Nothing that we have can amount to an absolute hill of beans. Nothing at all. This morning, do you seek after revival? Or do you just show up to church? Do you seek after revival? Or do you just flip through your Bible? Do you seek for God to talk to you, for God to speak to you through His Word? Or do you put your Bible up when you get home and don't look at it again until the next church service? Do you even look at it then? Do you sing praises to God during the work week when you're on the lawnmower, when you're in the shower? Do you pray to Him whenever you need a little something extra throughout your week? Or do you just man up and try to shoulder it? Our problem is we depend on ourselves too much and God too little. There was a man said, and I don't remember who said it. He said we should live every day at the end of us. Pretty sure it was Charles Stanley said that. He said we should live every day at the end of us. And what he was getting at is as far as we can go, as far as I can carry me, as far as I can work, as far as I can do, as far as I can go, and when I reach my absolute end, that's where we should live every day, because that's where God begins. We can live every day at the end of us because we can't bring revival.
We can't save. We can't change lives. We may want to. We may desire to. We may wish to God that we could change the lives of some of these kids, that we could change the lives of some of these adults, that we could even change our own lives. We can't do that.
I planted my garden a couple of weeks ago. I got green beans up about yay tall. I got corn up about yay tall. And I got potatoes up about yay tall. I can't make them grow. Because some seeds didn't germinate. All I can do is plant. All I can do is give it the absolute best environment to grow. The best environment to grow. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 15. Paul said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and of strife, and some of also goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, but supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set to the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein do I rejoice, yea, will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest, here's the word I want to underline this morning. According to my earnest expectation. You cannot get revival until you expect revival. You cannot plant a garden until you prepare the ground, right? How many of you went out there and just throwed your seeds out in your yard, expected them to grow? Anybody do that? Me either. What we do? We tilled it up. Do you just till through it one time and then scatter your seeds? No. You spent time planting your garden. If you planted in pots, you made sure that you had you some good potting soil. If you planted in the ground, you tilled through it three or four times and then you healed up rows. You didn't just scatter it. You didn't just whoop-de-doo. You know why? You care about that garden. Because you're putting work into something and you expect it to grow. You expect it to flourish. You expect it to be worth it. Revival is worth it, but we have to prepare ourselves. We have to turn loose of the things that stand between us and God. We have to prioritize God in our life. We have to prioritize God in our life. I had a conversation with a man at the retreat this week. He preaches at a church in Baton Rouge. And he said that the church folded that was next door to him. And they were both a Baptist church. He said the church folded. And whenever he asked the preacher why the church folded, he said because nobody signed up for the cleaning list. That's what he said. He said, nobody signed up to clean the church. That's the reason our church is no longer there. That's the reason that we're going to give y'all the building. That's the reason that we are giving y'all the gymnasium. That's the reason that we are giving this to y'all. And our church is gone, dissipated, dissolved completely. Because no one would sign up to help in the church. I had to get him to explain that. I didn't understand. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can still meet in a dirty church. He said, and every time that we had revival service, we'd have a few people show up. But he said, people quit helping clean the church. So the church got dirty. People stopped helping keep up the grounds. So things started to grow up. All of the pressure was put on one, two, three families. And those families said, we're done. We're not doing it anymore. The giving dropped off. Church wasn't able to pay the light bill, the gas bill. So the first time that it got really, 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 really cold and the gas heaters wouldn't come on, people said, well, I'm not coming back to this church. It's not comfortable. And whenever the ceiling, the hurricane blew the shingles off the roof and the church began to leak, a few people came in and they saw the ceiling was, paint was falling off, flaking off. They said, well, I'm not coming to this church. They don't even keep this church up no more. He said at the end of the day, we had to get the lights turned off because there wasn't enough people giving to keep the lights turned on. He said, but it started with absolutely no commitment to the cleaning list. That church was no longer there. That church was there for 100 years, middle of Baton Rouge. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people in and out of that church. It sat 1,200. And he said that in the 90s, early 2000s, that they filled the church up. And it went down because no one was committed to God. Because no one wanted revival. They wanted to show up and socialize. They didn't want to be spiritually fed. This morning, things are going to change in our life and things are going to change in our church. Paul said at the end of the day, you have several different groups and you have this thing happening and you have this happening. But he said at the end of the day, it is my expectation. Let's continue reading in verse number 20. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul said, it is worth it. It may be hard. It may be grueling. It may be tough. It may be embarrassing. It may be outside of our comfort zone. It may be forgiving someone that is uncomfortable to forgive. It may be getting past something that's hard to get past. It may be accepting something. Maybe giving up. Maybe the convicting power of God getting a hold of you and you don't want to change. But Paul said at the end of the day that he expects the power of Christ to continue. For he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm a winner either way. So with all boldness, he continued to preach. With all boldness, y'all know what got Paul killed? His boldness. Go read that story. He could have been turned loose, but he wasn't. He could have been freed, but he wasn't. He could have escaped several times, but he didn't. What got Paul killed, what got Paul in trouble was his boldness for Christ. But at the end of the day, that wasn't trouble. Paul got to preach to some of the greatest men on earth in that time. Some believed and some didn't, but Paul got to preach to them. Paul got to witness to them. Paul got to present Jesus to them. Paul got to bring revivals into the places that he went, into the places that he traveled, into the churches that he ministered to. Paul brought the power of Christ, which changes lives. This morning, I wish the power of Christ could change your life. I know it can. We spend more time preparing for our garden in a week than we do preparing for revival. Yeah, I didn't get amen on that. We spend more time hoeing our garden than we do reading our Bible. This morning, I want to encourage you. You can't go back and redo what you did on Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but you can start today expecting a revival to happen. You can start today preparing your heart, tilling up that ground, preparing yourself, preparing your family for a revival in this church. Preparing for revival in your heart. Preparing for a rekindling of that flame that was once there. David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. That means that we share it with others. It means that we witness with others. That means that we praise and we rejoice, not just singing, but praising. There's a difference. There's a song that I've recently learned to love. It's called Gratitude. Familiar with the song? Some, maybe other. It's called Gratitude, and in the song, the author says, I know it's not much, but I've nothing left fit for a king. Nothing that I can give to a king. Nothing that I can present. Nothing that I can offer. Absolutely nothing at all. So back in the medieval times when there were kings and queens ruling everything, what did the people give to them? There was nothing to take it off from that they didn't have. The kings and the queens were the richest of everybody. They wanted for nothing. They had the best clothes. They had the best food. They had the best drink. They had all the money. So what could they give them? They gave them their labor. They gave them their life. They gave them their goods. They gave them their respect. They gave them their honor.
The author of the song says, I've nothing left fit for a king, except for a song singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Song says, come on my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your heart, your hands. Because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. If we want a revival, we got to praise God. If we want a revival, we got to seek after God. If we want a revival, we have to prepare our hearts to get to that point. If we want a revival, we have to remove those things in our life that are hindering that. If we want a revival, we have to stop getting distracted by everything and everybody else in the church. You know the reason?
My daddy sat on that bench right in front of Brother Steve right there at Parr's table when I grew up. And I never really liked sitting that close to the front. I just didn't. But I asked him how come, he said, I don't want to get distracted by what's happening on the back row. I sat on the back row of a lot of churches. I get a lot more out of preaching whenever I'm sitting right here. Because all of the distractions are gone. I get a lot more out of singing from sitting right here. Because all the distractions are gone. And I'm looking for God. This morning, I want us to look for a revival. I want us to expect a revival. Not just, and Paul said that it was not just his expectation, but it was his earnest expectation. This church has been through a lot in the last, since it was founded. It has. In the last several years that I've been here, this church has been through a lot. Inside out and outside in, all over again. The people in this church has been through a lot. Look at your life and how it's changed in the last 5 years. Dramatically. Dramatically. Not just a little bit. A lot. So many times we look back and we see what's worse about our life. Whenever God gets a hold of us and revival gets a hold of us, it changes for the better. And it changes dramatically. It changes radically. And Paul said that it was his earnest expectation that he wanted nothing more than to see Christ's work. Nothing more. And at the end of the day, it's uncomfortable, it hurts, and it may be tough, but it's worth it. Every single time. The last retreat that I went to, there was a man, and he was here Sunday before last, Mr. Clarence Butler, sat right back here. He was kind of out of place, if y'all didn't notice. But he was a great guy. He was our table leader. And he said whenever we got started, there were five other men gathered around the table. And he looked at us and he said, if this weekend ain't worth it, I'm going to refund you your money. He said, if this weekend does not change your life, I will give you your money back personally. If it's not absolutely worth it. You know how many people he had to pay back? You know why? Because we stepped outside of our comfort zone. Because we looked for God to work. We expected God to work. People prayed for it months in advance. And God worked. I know that there's some here that's been praying for this revival months in advance. I know that the men that meet on Sunday night, we pray for this revival. I know that at your house, a lot of you pray for revival to happen in this church. I want it to happen desperately. I'm expecting it to happen earnestly. We got to break up our own hearts. This morning, if there's something standing between you and God, get rid of it. It's not worth it. If there's something uncomfortable in your life that God is convicting you about, take care of it. If there's something that God wants you to change, that God wants you to correct, take care of it. I don't want to stand in the way of the Bible. I don't want to stand in the way of the soul being saved. I don't want to stand in the way of a sinner coming to Christ. I don't want to stand in the way of a saved person being rekindled, as that psalm says. Only God can do that if we're prepared for it. If we'll look for it, if we'll expect it. And this morning, I pray that we can do that. While we have a verse for song, we're going to ask for a verse of invitation. This morning, if you have